Shalom Aleichem. Mishnah Yomi today is picking up in chapter 10 of Sanhedrin, Mishnah Vav, and then we'll be going on to chapter 11, Bezrat Hashem. Mishnah Vav continues Mishnah Hey, talking about the consequences of Ir HaNidahat, a city where most of the residents were involved in public, communal idolatry, God forbid, and they are killed with herig after being tried in Beit Din, and then the case as a whole going up to the high court, the Sanhedrin of 71, and their property, their possessions are burned. So how does that work? Shnamar v'et kol shalala tikbots el toch rechova. This is in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 17. All of the shlola, the loot, the possessions, the items owned by the residents in the city, you'll gather into the town square. And the Mishnah adds, im ein la rechov, if there's no town square for this town, most of them have, but what do you do if there isn't? Osin la rechov, they would bulldoze out a town square in the middle of the town. Ha'itu rechov ha'hutzala, if the town square was, you know, right outside the wall or right outside the city limits, ka'intinota latocha, they would actually incorporate it into the city, wall it off, fence it off, so it's part of the city, so they can fulfill the requirements of the verse. And what's next? V'sarafta ba'esh, you burn in fire, et ha'ir, the whole city, v'et kol shalah, all of the property, kalil l'shem elokecha, a burnt offering to Hashem your God. Shalah, that ah, there is possessive, the property of the city, private property, v'lo shlal shemaim, but not consecrated items. If people in the city had items that they had donated to the temple already, those can't be burned. Mikan Amru, from here our sages learned, ha-hekdeshot sheba, anything kodesh, sanctified items donated to the temple in the city, yepadu, they must be redeemed before they are burned. Utrumot, and if they've separated truma from the crops, yirkavu, they should be left to rot, they're too holy and too special to be burned. Meiser sheni, v'kitve kodesh, yigolazu, and meiser sheni, the second tithe, and sacred writings, like their Sefer Torah, their books, they should be put in Geniza, be put away. Usually the Geniza is next to the cemetery. It's where you place sacred things that, you know, you can't throw in the garbage. Kliel l'shem elokecha, Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon learned something else from this verse. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's as if Hashem is telling us in the Torah, im atem osin din b'ir nidachat, if you properly carry out the judgment on this corrupt, idolatrous city, ma'alei ani, I will consider it aleichem for you, ke'ilu atem malim ola kliel l'fanai, as if you've brought a burnt offering that's completely burnt up to me. So Hashem's considering it as an offering of appeasement if you do justice correctly. The Torah adds, V'haita tel olam lo tibanei od, it shall be a tel, like a hill, like a mound. Tel Aviv is the same thing. Tel is a famous word, they have many throughout the Middle East. Usually if there's a tel, there's something buried underneath it. Haita tel olam, it will be permanently a tel, lo tibanei od, it should not be built again. So what does this mean? Lo ta'asei afilu ganot upardesim, you can't build there even gardens and orchards. Dibi Rabbi Yossi Aglili, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva Omeri disagrees, says lo tibanei od, it can't be built up again. Lichmo shehaita enod nivdet, you can't build like what used to be there. You can't build a residential city. Avol na'asei ti ganot upardesim, but it could be made into gardens and orchards and non-residential function. The Torah adds about your nidachat v'lo yidbak bi'alcha me'uma min cherem, none of the cherem, the forbidden property, the loot, should stick to your hand. Don't take anything. And then the pasuk continues, so Hashem will turn away from his anger. The Mishnah explains, shekozman sherashayim ba'olam, when there are wicked people doing wicked things in the world, corrupting other people, Harun af be'olam, Hashem's anger is also in the world. Now we've mentioned, and the Rambam explains in detail, Hashem doesn't really get angry. Hashem does not experience emotions like humans do. This is the Torah and our sages putting it into these words so we can understand it with our human limitations. The Mishnah concludes, Avdu Rishayim min olam, when wicked people are removed from the world through proper justice and repentance, Nistolik Harun af min olam, the anger also subsides. Mazel tov. On to chapter 11, our conclusion of Sanhedrin. Elu hen nehenokin. These are the people who get chenik, strangulation, as their capital punishment when they're convicted by the court. Hamake aviv imo, one who strikes his father or mother. The gonev nefesh misrael, someone who kidnaps a Jewish person. The zokin mamre ol pi beitin, an elder, a scholar who rebels against the word of the high court. Unavia sheker, a false prophet, hamitnabe b'shem avodah zarah, a prophet who's giving over prophecy in the name of an idol, haba al eshet ish, a man who sleeps with a married woman, v'zomamei bat kohen, the edim zomamim, who have said a bat kohen committed adultery. Now remember, she would get sreifa if she's convicted, but they don't get sreifa, they would get regular old chenek. Ubala, and the man who committed the sin of adultery with the daughter of a Kohen, even though she would get Sreifa, he would get Chedek. Now the Mishnah, as it did back in Niskolin and Nisrofin, acts a little bit like the Gemara usually does, and the Mishnah explains this list in a little more detail. Of course, the Gemara is going to go into even greater detail and draw more halachic conclusions. Hamakei aviv imo, one a child who strikes the father or the mother, eino chayev ad sheyaseh v'hen chabura, is not chayev for the death penalty unless they actually make an injury, a wound. Zei homer b'mekolo b'mevukeh, and this is a stringency by cursing the parents versus hitting them. Shemekolo l'achar mita chayev, a child who curses either parent after they've passed on is still liable for the death penalty. But someone who strikes a parent la'achar mita after they've already passed away, pater. They are not given the death penalty because it cannot make a wound. I mean, perhaps they were just very upset and very angry that their parent actually passed away and left them, and they were experiencing, God forbid we should experience such a thing. The Mishnah adds, hagoniv nefesh misrael, a kidnapper, eino chayev od sheyachnisenu l'shuto, is not liable until he brings him into his own property. And lahavdil, you know, in modern law, there's a difference between someone, God forbid, you know, this is Baltimore, so it does happen downtown, not to us, of course. Somebody being robbed, that's one thing. But if somebody's being robbed and then the aggressor is asking them to go to a new location, well, that's felony kidnapping. So this changing location thing also has ramifications, lahavdil, in modern law. Rabbi Yehuda adds, ad sheich nesinu l'shuto, until he brings him home, v'yishtamish bo, and uses him to do work, uses him like an eved, uses him as a servant. Shnemar v'tit amer bo umcharo. He was mit amer, makes use of him, you know, does work with him, and then he sold him to someone else. Hagonivit beno. What if someone kidnaps his own son? Rabbi Shmuel benosha Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka mechayev. He says you'd be chayev chenek when convicted. Chachamim potrim. The sages say he's not liable for the death penalty. And the Rav, the Bar Nura, he explains, based on the Gemara, the opinion of the sages is actually there's extra words, that there's nothing extra in the Torah, there's extra words, nimtso biyado, the kidnapped person is found in the hand of the kidnapper. This excludes someone who's already in the domain of the would-be kidnapper, and the child is already in the domain of the father, because the child has a mitzvah, is supposed to be helping his parents, is supposed to be making the life of his parents easier. Now, children in this generation especially may not really appreciate that when they're helping their parents and helping their entire family and their household, they're doing a very important mitzvah. And they might feel as if they've been kidnapped and put to work, and they might feel that they're, you know, they might feel very oppressed, but in reality, it's not a form of oppression, and it certainly is not legal halachic kidnapping. Of course, parents must be so gentle with their children. Now, even in times when it's allowed to be angry, the Rambam says, don't actually get angry. You could pretend to be angry if you're able to pretend and not actually get angry. But one must be very, very sensitive with children. They all have unique needs and unique methods of communicating and having a relationship with their parents and their family. Very important to be sympathetic and patient, even though, yes, halachically, children have a Torah obligation to be helping and listening to their parents. Finally, the Mishnah brings Gonav Misha Chetzio Eved Chetzio Ben Churin. What if he kidnapped someone who's half a servant and half a free man? Rabbi Yehuda Machayev Chachamim Potrim. Rabbi Yehuda says he's Chayev, he's stealing, you know, the half that's free. The Chachamim say no, they have an exclusion again from Sukkim, that's only someone who's entirely a free Jew is kidnap a bull. We mentioned that if an Eved Kanani, a servant, had two masters, and one of them sent him free to be fully Jewish, the other one had not yet done so, he would be Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Churin. And in this situation, Beit Shammai said that the second master needs to free him as well, and he'll pay back eventually. And this is one of the areas where Beit Hillel turned around and agreed with Beit Shammai that it's not a long-term situation, that we would allow, that we would force the other master to make him free and eventually get paid back. Yishar kochachem, tizku le mitzvot.